And welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Tom Rainer, where we equip churches to move from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Revitalize and Replant is brought to you by the North American Mission Board.
Welcome to Revitalize and Replant. My name is Tom Rainer. I am here with Jonathan Howe and also with Amy T. If y'all are missing the name, Amy J. She's out today. I think she's doing something with her family.
Yeah, end of school year.
Yeah. And she didn't take many days
she's
off.
She's a good parent. Me and Amy T are still at work.
Well, there may be other days. Y'all do a lot with your kids. You're really good. On this particular episode of Revitalize and Replant, we're going to get to the heart of a very painful issue, and that issue has to do with what do you do if you're trying to revitalize a church and you have a power player against you? There's so much I could say on this, but Jonathan knows the story, and I'm not going to start giving out names, but I was in a church revitalization situation in Florida, in St. Petersburg, in my church in St. Petersburg. And from the onset, I mean, from day one, I had a power player that was against me. And he was not on the search committee that called me. He wanted to be. And just day one, I felt the pressure. And so on the one hand, I had the pressure of revitalization and all that goes with leading a church and being a pastor. And on the other hand, I had the power player that I had to deal with. So we start talking about this issue in church revitalization. It's very real. It's very painful. And I know at the conclusion of our podcast, we're going to thank the North American Mission Board. I always appreciate Kevin Ezell and the leadership that he provides at NAMB, for the uninitiated, NAMB, which means the North American Mission Board, as well as Mark Clifton, who is with us every other episode. And it feels incomplete sometimes without Mark here with his without his International Harvester hat slouched in the chair to my left. So Jonathan, let's dive right into this tough issue of revitalizing a church when you have a power player against you.
All right, I love this question. Just for the second line, really. It says, I have a church bully problem. One church member, whose name rhymes with Dodger, keeps making end runs around decisions I make and is generally undoing things as I try to do them in our revitalization. I guess he's not a bully as much as he's a foe making power moves for me and the staff. How do I deal with this?
Oh, and Roger, I get that.
Love that.
I totally get that. Caleb, as I indicated with my own introduction of church revitalization back in antiquity, I understand completely. And what we're going to do is we're going to go through seven things that may be helpful for you as you begin to consider how to deal with the power player.
All right, so number one, this situation is not uncommon. You kind of mentioned that already. Even if everybody says they're on board, usually somebody's not.
Well, even with the search committee, it is not unusual. And again, I need to be cognizant and let you know I'm cognizant of the fact that we have a diverse group of listeners here. Some their polity calls for a search committee, some for the appointment process. So to the listeners, when I say search committee, you translate that to your current polity. If you're in a Methodist denomination and there's appointments going on, or if you have elders that vote on a pastor coming in, or if you have a search committee, I'll just usually say search committee, but please grab a hold of that and understand that I'm talking about all of those groups. You got your search committee as an example, and they tell you how wonderful you are. There may be 5, 6, 7. I hope it's not a whole lot more than that. If it is, it becomes problematic. And you have all of these people telling you how wonderful you are. And here is what they inevitably will say, Jonathan. They will say, we won't change.
Yes.
We're calling you to lead change. And you feel so good about that.
They say they won't change. That's fantastic. They're on board.
I'm going to come to the church because they won't change. And here is the reality. They won't change until they have to change.
Yeah.
Until it affects them personally. So, Caleb, this situation is not only, to use the double negative, not uncommon. It is highly common. In fact, it is almost the exception to the rule, especially in a revitalization, which is a lot of churches these days. Especially in a revitalization, it is something that is exceedingly common, understand you are not alone. I remember Jonathan talking to a pastor in Virginia. I mentioned him in a blog post not too long ago, and he said he was talking about Church Answers, and he said, "What I love about Church Answers is I know that I'm not alone." And that's the first thing I want you to know, Caleb. You're not alone, because many pastors feel like this is only happening to me. Is something wrong with me? Nope, it's not you, Caleb. It's a situation that is common.
All right, number two, you begin with prayer.
We did an interview with Chris Martin on Rainer on Leadership on his book, Ministering to the Millennials. And you would expect a lot of practical information. Chris has got that kind of mind. He's got a deep theological mind as well. But when I began to ask him about how other generations connect with millennials, do you remember the first thing he said, Jonathan?
Start with prayer.
Start with prayer. And he said, you know, that may sound trite. That may sound, that's the thing I'm supposed to say. But, Caleb, pray for Dodger. Pray for him. As Chris said in that previous interview, it's hard to be negative against someone when you are praying for someone. So be praying for that person specifically.
All right. Number three, try to decide if the blockage that they're providing is a workaround or if it's a clash of the titans.
I thought at the onset of my situation in St. Petersburg, it was a clash of the titans. I thought this was, and if I began to tell you why I thought it would have been a clash of the titans, it would too clearly identify the person. So I will just refrain from saying that. He's still very much alive. However, it was not a clash of the titans. It was I don't want to say it was an easy workaround, but it was much easier than I thought it was, because he burned so many bridges already with his power plays.
Ah.
And so I was able to not do anything devious. Well, maybe a little bit. I don't want to make myself sound like I had all these totally pure motives. But I was able to do some things where the blockage was there, but I didn't have to run over him. I was just able to work.
You could go around instead of over.
Yeah, and I did. And for the most part, I did it the entire time I was there. Didn't have to run over him, didn't have to have the battle. Sometimes you have to have the battle, but in that particular case, I did not have to have the battle. So when you run into that power player, you need to ask that question, is this going to be a clash? Or is this an inevitable fight that will take place, a power play between the two of us? Or is it something that we can work around? I don't want to throw a percentage out there. Like one of my sons said, there's a 90% chance my dad's going to give a percentage that is not accurate. So I don't want to put a percentage out there and say that it's accurate, but I wouldn't be surprised if 7 or 8 out of 10 situations are more workarounds than they are clashes.
You just kind of sometimes have to get creative or just, you know, really kind of think through things.
If they're a power player to you, that means that they have been a power player to others as well.
Well, and that's number four is important in that, because you got to enlist others to help. That kind of goes back to the leading change, building a coalition, that kind of thing.
You're building that healthy alliance.
Yeah.
And whether you're reading Cotter on leading change or Rainer on Who Moved My Pulpit, kind of the sanctified church version of the change issue, you really need an alliance. You need people with you. You don't need to go into the situation alone. I was talking to a pastor yesterday, as you well know, through Church Answers and other means. I talk to a lot of pastors, and I was talking to a pastor yesterday, and his particular power player is on staff, and has been on staff for a long time, preceded him. And as a matter of fact, not just staff, some connections
I bet that's more common than having somebody who's laity.
You could very well be right. Very well be right.
I could be wrong, but yeah.
it's certainly common, though. And he had been struggling with this issue, and how do I address the power player? And here's what happened. The personnel committee, that church had a personnel committee, finally said, we just had enough with this guy. And they started handling it. And all he has done, I shouldn't say all he has done, for the last couple of years, while the staff member was making a power play, he was just saying, let me share with you what's going on. And that was it. And finally, they said, okay, we're coming alongside you. You're not going to fight this battle on your own. As a matter of fact, we're going to lead the situation for you.
Mm.
So the personnel committee became his alliance. I want to be clear on this. It does not have to be a formal organization within the church. It can be informal allies. It can be just people that you trust that can help you. Don't try to go this alone. Find people that you trust that can work alongside you to help you in this situation.
And it's also not you trying to get your jets to go against their sharks.
Say that again now.
You trying to get your little group to go against his little group. I mean, it's not like this,
okay,
this turf war kind of thing.
Did you understand what he said, Amy T?
The jets and the sharks. That's West Side Story.
What's West Side Story?
Oh, boy. Wow. That's the 60s. Kind of, sort of.
Musical? West Side?
Yeah, okay.
I did watch The Sound
of Music. The audience knows what I'm talking about.
Okay, I watched The Sound of Music when it came out on the screen with Julie Andrews.
I'm not going to start singing.
You just want to say those hills are alive.
I do. Anyway, but that's the thing. You don't want to, like, it's not like you're starting a turf war in the church.
Yeah.
Whenever we're talking about these alliance things.
Don't
get that perception.
You're not drawing a line in the sand and say everybody over here on this side, if you're either for me or against me.
Yes.
You're finding confidence. You're finding people that can give you feedback and even pushback in this situation. For example, one of the people in my alliance early in that particular church was a prayer warrior in the church. And she'd say, you know, Pastor, I love this. All she ever called me was Pastor. You know, Pastor, you just need to let go of this because I think God's going to handle it. We're going to just pray it through. And she didn't mean this in some falsely pious way that had no legs to prayer. She was sincere. And truly, most of the time, it worked out through prayer. So you're right. It's not always drawing battle lines.
Yes. All right. Number five, you got to focus on the positives where you can.
When you have a power player in the church, it is inevitably a negative situation because he or she is trying to do things to persuade people to a cause that will often become distracting to the main thing. I've seen it in churches again and again and again where distractions become the focus instead of outwardly focused. I did a survey, and I've mentioned this in more than one context, and you've heard me mention this. So I went on Twitter. And I asked this question, share with me some of the approaches and tools you use to reach beyond your own church. It was the least response I have ever gotten.
Should have gone
Twitter
with the funny wedding stories or something instead. If you
want. Oh, yeah, that blows up social media when I do that. It was crickets.
It was.
I was shocked. You can draw a lot of conclusions for that.
But we shouldn't be shocked because that's what we hear.
Yeah. When you ask the question, what is your church doing to reach into the community intentionally with gospel conversations? Nothing.
Not many are. That's part of the problem.
What do we hear? We don't like programs. We're not talking about programs. We can be, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about reaching beyond ourselves. I was presenting to a group here yesterday. You were actually in the group, and they said, give us some of the innovative ways that churches are reaching people. I said, well, before I talk about innovation, let me just tell you what really is effective. Try something.
Do something.
Do something. Don't do nothing. There's a double negative for you. When you have this power player, the situation could bring the church down. If you can focus on moving the church beyond herself, moving the members beyond themselves, having them outwardly focused, it can be something that will diminish the power player in terms of power, not in terms of personhood, but in terms of power, and you'll be able to move forward because everybody will be more excited about the positive gospel outward focus than the inward focus that often is the case with power players.
All right, number six, beware of the energy vampires.
I'm not good about this a lot of the time.
How so?
Well, it's more past than present. I've learned in my old age, but I would spend time, I would let people drain me.
Yeah, and this is what you're talking about, energy vampires. This is people who take energy rather than boost your energy.
I would be around people who were overly needy. I'm not saying needy, but overly needy, overly negative. People that you spend an hour with them and you just feel like you need a 3-hour nap afterwards. I think anybody who is listening to this can identify. They probably have a vision of somebody in their mind right now. I know that in my marriage at times, I have been an energy vampire. And, you know, Nellie Joe would just say things like, she'd use these words, "You're draining me." Yes, you know, let's rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. You know, okay. And I would just move in a totally different direction. In the church, there are energy vampires. I am not suggesting for a moment that you don't minister to people. I'm not suggesting that you don't take care of those who have needs. But there are some people who are overly needy. There are some people who will just drain you again and again and again. And when you're dealing with a bully, or in this case, a power player, I got to be clear that Caleb didn't specifically, he ended up saying maybe he's more of a power player than a bully. But when you're dealing with them, it can take away your energy for everything else you do in the church. So do the opposite. Go to energizers instead of energy vampires. Yeah. Go to those who will say, "Let's see what the Lord can do in this church. Man, I'm excited about it." I was at his house last night, and I've mentioned him on more than one podcast, and he doesn't listen to my podcast, so some people call him up and say, "Paul, Rainer talked about you."
That's funny.
On the podcast. I was at in Spring Hill last night and dropped something off at Paul's house. Paul is an energizer. He's an introverted energizer, which is my favorite kind, you know, because they're not. But when I'm around him, I'm energized because I see he talks about possibilities. He talks about what God can do, and these energy drainers, especially a bully, can so distract you that you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing.
All right. Finally, only as a last resort, you might have to ask them to go.
That is truly a last resort, and you know that's almost a podcast into itself. I have done a Rainer on leadership about when you have to ask a volunteer to mm-hmm. step down. But this is even a more difficult situation. Is it church discipline? Possibly. It has some forms of church discipline because you're confronting someone who is really dividing the church, who is hurting the church so much that you and hopefully others surrounding you have come to the point that you really believe that this person needs to go. That they're hurting the unity of the church in such a severe way that they have to step aside. This is a last resort, and you know, someone may ask the question, "Tom, Jonathan, what constitutes a bully who now needs church discipline?" I don't know.
It depends.
It depends, but it's if it is tearing the church apart. Certainly, if it's overt moral failure or something about that, but if it's beginning to tear the fabric of the church and the unity of the church away, then it may ultimately be something that you will have to deal with. Dealt with it once with a power player
mm-hmm.
who also had positional power in the church, and I've mentioned him before. He was chairman of the finance committee, so had to deal with that one.
All right, so last question here. We got just a couple minutes left. Related to this, like Caleb, he talks about how it's kind of hurting the revitalization of the church. Give me some examples of how maybe a power player can hurt revitalization in a church. Kind of what to look for, I guess, so pastors just know what we're talking about here.
Pastors put out fires of power players. So they're murmuring over here, and someone will come to the pastor and say, "You know, some people are saying," or they may say, "Dodger is saying,"
yeah.
And so the pastor has to go deal at least immediately with the situation, or have to go deal with that particular situation. Or the power player has gone rogue and created a ministry that is not aligned with the church, that should not have happened, just to demonstrate that she can start her own ministry. They can do their own thing. So once again, the pastor, in the revitalization, instead of leading toward revitalization efforts, and we can go back to the fifth thing we said, focus on the positive when you can. The pastor is dealing with murmuring. The pastor is dealing with a rogue ministry or organization or group within the church that has started. And then another thing, and this is related to number two, if the power player leads a group, off-campus group, small group, community group, or Sunday school class, he often can use his positional power within there to ally with him on this particular issue. Those are three common ways that you will often see the power player begin to manifest itself. Again, I will always have examples because I've listen to pastors all the time. I remember a pastor, it's been two or three years ago, who contacted me, and he said, this particular power player has a, it was a Sunday school class, it was a more established traditional church, has a Sunday school class that averages about 30, and the church had an average attendance of about 600. Now, that sounds relatively small.
Well, it's a pretty sizable group.
It was a sizable group, it was an influential group, and it was a giving group.
Mm.
And they used all of the levers that are, let me put it this way, the power player who was over that group used all the levers that he could within that group to cause disruption within the church. So those are some of the ways. I'm sure there are many others, but those are at least three of the ways that are common.
And those will kill revitalization in the church.
Revitalization takes everything God has given you. And if you're using some of the things in order to put out fires in a significant way, in order to deal with the power player, when you're doing that, then you don't have the energy nor the leadership that is available.
All right. Once again, we want to thank the North American Mission Board for sponsoring today's podcast. Revitalize and Replant is always sponsored by the North American Mission Board and Church Replanters. More than 10% of churches in North America are at risk of closing, and the North American Mission Board is committed to reversing this trend by decreasing the death rate of existing churches and simultaneously increasing the birth rate of new ones. To learn more about what it means to become a replanting pastor or to explore resources for replanting and revitalization in your own church, visit churchreplanters.com.
Okay, as we close this up, let me thank you again for joining us on this episode 43 of Revitalizing Your Church When You Have a Power Player Against You. Let me thank again, as Jonathan just did, the North American Mission Board. And just a little word that is out there. Mark Clifton and the North American Mission Board have asked us to partner with them on some type of a revitalization certification. And I do want to honor that. And hopefully before 2018 is over, maybe in early 2019, we'll be talking a little bit more for that. Thank you once again for joining us on Revitalize and Replant, where we are growing healthy churches together.
Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant with Tom Rainer. If you'd like to learn more about re-energizing your church to reach your community, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or Google Play or in your favorite podcasting app. For additional resources on church leadership and to join the conversation online, visit TomRainer.com, where we are growing healthy churches together.